Okay, I'll call to order the city council regular session, March 14th, 2018 at 6:15 PM. Establish a quorum.
Connie Gray's present.
Steve Martinez present.
Don Ryder present.
Craig Eaton present.
Frederick Tennant present.
Okay, we have a quorum. Pledge of allegiance, we have a veteran in the crowd. Oh, he leading us.
Ready? I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Sorry, everybody, we ran a little bit late on that last meeting, but we got good stuff done. Put it that way. Okay, any added agenda items?
Staff has one. It's the Achievement in Community Engagement Awards Opportunity.
Okay. Any, everybody agree to add that? Any objections to that? Okay, we'll add that at the end. Public comments? Any public comments? Sure.
Well, started out good.
We gotta state your name and stuff.
Yes, my name is Gloria Fleming. I live on Deer Forest, the address of record. And I wrote this down because I want it to go in officially, but I'll give you each a copy of it at the end of the meeting. But I wrote it down so I wouldn't forget. To the city, the Lapine City Council and Lapine City Planning Commissioners, I was recently made aware of the purchase of the building on Highway 97 and the change in an ordinance that would allow a marijuana dispensary to be placed in there in full view of all driving through town. I was shocked and appalled that this could happen after all the hard work the former planning commission did to keep this from happening. I believe I was out of town because I had no inkling that this was in the works. I did not know about the change with the setback. I do not know if any of you are aware, but at one point, Lapine was known as the meth capital of Oregon. We had a reputation for easy access and minimal law enforcement. When we decided to become a city, a priority and commitment was made to change that image. It was something always kept in our thoughts as we developed our comprehensive plan and ordinances. When voters approved marijuana sales, it was only by a very slim margin, both for medical and recreational. Almost as many of your constituents were against it as were for it. The planning commissioners were told we could not stop the dispensaries, but we did have the authority to try to protect our children and our image by ordinances stating where and how many dispensaries would be allowed. We did considerable research and comparisons with other cities and came up with ordinances that would work for us. The setbacks for businesses were very important because of prior image problems, and we wanted to protect a family-friendly image for all that passed through. We checked and legal advices. We were within our rights to do so. The idea was that we should be able to control a certain of what's actually on the highway. For instance, we wouldn't want a porn shop there either. And by setting that precedent, that would help us in future if anybody wanted to come in like that. On one side of the highway, we have worked so hard to improve the look, and I was really looking forward to a bright, shiny, welcoming image as we come into town. Now, as we look to the right, we will see a business that throws out that negative image once again, and it makes me very sad and disappointed. Thank you.
Thank you, Gloria. We can comment at the end. Your council comments.
Probably most appropriate time.
Most appropriate time. Instead of commenting on it now. Okay. Any other public comments? Okay. Let's move it along here then. The consent agenda. Information concerning matters listed in the consent agenda are distributed to each council member for reading and study. is considered to be routine and will be enacted or approved in one motion by the city council without separate discussion. If separate discussion is desired concerning a particular matter listed within this consent agenda, that matter may be removed from the consent agenda and placed on a regular agenda by request of any member of the city council.
Real quick, just as a reminder, staff sent out an email. It was brought to our attention that item B6B in the consent agenda, reimbursement from Councilman Greiner, was to be pulled from the consent agenda.
Okay.
Just as a reminder.
Go ahead, Stu.
And I'd like to stop that poll until we discuss it.
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to just take it out of the agenda completely and just withdraw it and throw it away. I made a mistake, a very bad mistake, and I figured that out, and I explained it to you, and I can explain it to anybody else who wants to hear it, but anybody that would look at that and say that it took 150 miles to drive from here to Bend would know that somebody was a moron. And I apologize for the mistake, because I think I know how I did it. It was unintentional, but I just apologize to everybody for doing it.
And then I made a mistake as well in terms of reviewing it and putting my signature on it. So it was two mistakes is why it ended up, we caught it, and therefore
okay.
It's being pulled.
That's fine.
Okay, do we have a motion to accept the consent agenda, removing that one item?
I move that we accept the consent agenda by removing one item.
And I believe I need to state a conflict of interest. No?
Not anymore. There's no bills for approval on the consent agenda.
Okay.
I second that.
First and seconded. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Consent agenda approved. Okay, let's go on to number 7. Discussion with Economic Development Manager Ryan Cope on industrial spec building. Ryan, come up.
Sit down abruptly. I'm Ryan Culp. I'm the Sun River Lapine Economic Development Director with EDCO. Coming to give a brief update on some of the development that's been going on in the industrial park. We've had some conversation in the past about the city getting the opportunity to compete for projects, and then finding out that projects need existing industrial space, and just the time of projects with building permits and all those other things that people say, I need to be producing goods in June, not in January. So we need existing industrial space, and that's kind of the one gap that we have in our industrial park right now. And so we've talked about ways to address that and kind of landed on this path moving forward to try and explore a way to incentivize a private developer to own and lease a building, buy a lot from the city, build a building, lease it back to the city, and then the city can then lease that property to interested economic development projects at subsidized rates if it's appropriate. Just wanted to kind of give process update of where we are in that. The county has deeded to the city a 0.58 acre parcel on Reed Road. It was deeded unencumbered, so thanks, Mr. Mayor, for that. So we have total control of the property, so we can use total proceeds of revenue to help projects land in Lapine. I think it's a great first step. It's a really easy process with the county. They really played well with the mayor, with the city council, and what they asked for. We've started engaging developers, and there is interest from private developers that would be willing to do the building kind of in the pro forma that I think some people have seen before for a pretty reasonable term or a reasonable rate. And as we ramp up into the spring and construction season, I would say really expect to hit it in great detail, walking through numbers, walking through the details in April, but wanted to make sure that we were on the same page, kind of walking through where we had gotten to now and answer any questions if there were any.
Any questions? Connie?
Gone over it pretty well.
Stu?
Just as far as where we are now.
No questions.
No questions?
No questions.
Wow. Okay, Ryan.
You had a chance to talk with Jeremy and?
No, so we're because we are not, the city won't own the building, we're not, there we are in some ways not subject to some of the public bid things, so meeting with Jeremy on Monday of next week to walk through the timeline to make sure that we're doing everything as it needs to be for the legal side of the city entering a lease with a private developer. So on tandem paths, working with Jeremy on the legal side and private developer and company on the other side to make sure that everything is appropriate from all ends.
And we'd ultimately end up with a sale agreement, lease agreement where we're the lessee, and a lease agreement where we're the lessor. So, you know, those are documents that essentially don't exist right now, haven't existed because we've never done a project like this. So it's very critical that we sketch out those details and are proactive. Kind of, we're trying to run about three, if not five things in tandem so that we can stay on track to try to make all this happen.
Correct.
Accordingly on time.
Just for transparency, you have been, although we're not doing the public bid process, you have been negotiating with a couple different developers so that we can get the best price for the building.
Yep. We're working with three different ones.
Okay.
Yep.
And you'll bring that back to let us know whatever you...
Yeah, I mean, and I won't be the one that... I can't and won't ever commit anything for the city, but... I would come back and say, hey, this is one of the opportunities that's been presented in front of us. Is this something that you guys would agree to? Is this acceptable for council?
Anybody else? Anything for Ryan while he's here? We don't see him a lot.
I'm staying through the Sustainable City Year piece too, and then I've got staff. I'm not staff. Maybe public comments being one of those. just on some of the new programs that are enacted through the federal tax law. I want to give an update on those too.
Okay.
So we'll do that.
So the hope is that when we have some details, Ryan will be back in a work session environment, so we'll be able to really roll our sleeves up, talk through some of those. Ultimately, again, the concept is there. We've made some progress with the land. We need to get going in terms of fleshing out the details,
right?
Because that's, you know, the devil's in the details.
I mean, right now, Deschutes County is running 8 weeks on building permits. So even if we had a thumbs up and everyone was ready to go today, we're still looking at getting maybe into June before we break ground. So we want to dot all our I's and cross all our T's, but also make sure that we're doing it at the speed of industry.
Okay.
And we still have the same person interested.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And this is just going to be the start of something big.
We hope so.
Excited.
Yeah, it's exciting. Thank you. I'm glad something's moving out there.
Thanks.
Okay, thanks, Ryan. Okay, budget season rolling around here. So we got we're recommending an appointment of Corey Misley, city manager, budget officer, and discussion on budget calendar. He's been the budget manager for the last
two years.
You want to add anything to that, or just?
The main thing I'd point out is on the budget calendar, item 8 in your packet, is that staff had some internal discussions. Generally, we had the budget committee meetings the very first part of May. I think last year was May 2nd and 3rd. And we had originally set up the budget calendar so that it operated that way this year as well. And we realized that there really isn't a reason to have it that early in May. We've been sort of moving meetings, internal meetings, to get some budget conversations going back and back and back. So we're definitely not behind, but we moved those budget committee dates to the middle of May, May 14th and 15th, and the 16th, only if necessary, to give us an extra, you know, week and a half, a couple weeks to get everything in line. One of our goals to go in conjunction with that is that we'll actually have the budget document out to all the budget committee members sooner than normal, so that they have more time to go through the budget and be prepared to ask questions and discuss at that first meeting date. So all of you are on the budget committee, as well as five citizen representatives. We sent out emails, and it looks like 4 out of the 5 are interested in continuing, so we will put out a notification for one budget committee vacancy. If we aren't able to fill that, that's okay. We still just need a quorum at the budget committee meeting. It would be, you know, six.
Do they have to live within the city?
They do, yeah, they do in that capacity.
Okay, I guess we need a, let's have a motion to appoint Corey Meisley as the budget officer.
I move that we appoint Corey Meisley as the budget officer.
Second.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, Corey, another year.
Any questions on the budget calendar or anything else budget related at this point?
Anybody, anything?
Still staff's goal. I would say probably the work session in April for us to work with council on some of the, again, kind of merging of council goals with projects and objectives that fit within the budget based on the analysis and work that we've put in on that. So that's still our goal. I'd say the work session in April to have that discussion, give council an opportunity to provide some input on those projects. We can fine tune the document ahead of those middle of May budget committee meetings. So,
okay.
Other than that, we'll be working away behind the scenes, trying to get everything lined up. We're, as you heard at the audit presentation, we're in good shape. Really, the main moving parts are neat projects like the spec building, like the big water wastewater projects, some more streetscape improvements, perhaps some dollars for paths and sidewalks, things like that. So, anyways, more to come next month.
Okay, thank you. Let's move ahead. Follow up on the TGM co-assistant phase 2 and council advisory committee member. We need a member from the council.
Yeah, so we talked about this briefly at the last meeting, and I failed to provide the necessary information and context for council to really understand what which member was going to participate and what you were signing yourself up for. So in the memo that went out March 3rd, I outlined in that and included the TGM statement of work, and also mentioned in there that the advisory committee will serve as a stakeholder group for the TGM Code Assistance Project, provide feedback to the project management team, planning commission, and city council on project deliverables. The advisory committee must include at least one member of the planning commission and at least one member of the city council. We're coordinating that in conjunction with the public involvement plan. And as of now, the advisory committee is slated for 4 meetings, one in May, one in June, jointly with the Planning Commission, one in July, and then one in August, jointly with the Planning Commission and City Council. And I mentioned in the memo that we have further discussion at this meeting tonight with the intention of hopefully selecting who from council would like to be that advisory committee.
Okay, anybody on council want to step forward for that position? Connie? Do?
I take it.
Oh, okay. John, did you want it?
No.
Okay. Well, we got one volunteer, so do we have a motion to have Craig Eaton?
I will certainly accept Craig Eaton as the council representative.
I second.
First and second, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Okay, Craig, we got another job.
Yeah, I guess so.
Okay.
We'll sound so excited. we're going to be working on putting together the rest of the advisory committee members over the next few weeks as we turn the calendar into April. We'll keep you informed, obviously, Craig, as a member of the advisory committee, and then we'll just keep council informed through April and May as that TGM phase 2 ramps up. But ultimately, the Planning Commission is going to be involved, and then council is going to be involved as well throughout the summer on this one.
So. Okay, and they're all public meetings, so if somebody wants to sit in on one, they can just sit in on it, of course.
Yeah.
Okay, good. That was easy. Didn't have to draft somebody. Draw straws. Okay, update. Yeah. and the winter classes from Sustainable City Year and the preparation for spring classes.
So the winter term classes that kicked off back second week of January when we had the kickoff event here, they've been working away and they're at the point now of presenting their findings. So this Friday, basically from 10:30 to 3 o'clock, there are presentations at the Lapine Senior Center. It's the business course, and they're doing urban renewal, short-term and long-term presentations, as well as the workforce asset analysis and potential in the industry ecosystem targeting. Next Tuesday, the 20th, in the morning, I believe from 8 to 10, the passive solar heating class, as well as the commuter class, are presenting, but they're presenting in Eugene. However, we're going to be live streaming their presentations here in the council chambers on the overhead with seats set up for anybody interested to come and watch remotely. So we will send out that was sort of news to us recently. So we'll send that out to all of you and others that's an opportunity on Tuesday.
Again, that's 10:30?
I think that's 8 to 10, if I remember correctly. At 10 or 10:30 is the Housing Works.
Yeah, we have a
problem. 10 is the Housing Works.
So
we've got, as we knew, when we signed up for Sustainable City Year and all these other good projects we have going on, we're busy. I think that's I think we can complain in a good way about that, but that's the update on that end. At the same time, spring term starts April 2nd. That is right around the corner. So we've been working pretty heavily to make sure all the faculty are prepared for students to start that week on a variety of projects. For as exciting as the winter classes were, I think the lineup we have in the spring is even better, to be honest. So I wanted to share that just really quickly. As of now, we have a multi-use and pedestrian connectivity plan class going to be coming over and looking at the entire city of Lapine and how to better plan and implement bicycle and pedestrian connectivity. They are looking for 25 to 30 bicycles on the afternoon of April 4th to literally do a bicycle tour of town. And that's going to kind of be their site visit. All of you are welcome to join as well. We'll share that information. Not sure how we're finding those bikes yet.
What date was that?
It's Wednesday, April 4th.
It's not snowing.
Well, yeah, there's that part. So who knows? We might reach out to, we're going to get creative on trying to come up with that.
Maybe Trent could come down. So get some people to ride bicycles from the high school.
That'd be great. We don't know yet exactly the time. They're going to come over probably leave Eugene at 8 or 9, get here at 10 or 11, and kind of be here all early, mid, late afternoon. We'll share more on that, but that one's pretty straightforward, lined up, ready to go. The nonprofit consultancy class, the Lapine Parks and Rec Foundation Strategic Planning Project is a go. The folks over there put together a project description. We, in conjunction with the Senior Center, put together a Lapine Senior Center Strategic Planning and Board Development Project. That's a go as well. I need to circle around with the professor, Diana, and find out if there's still time to get a project description for the Lapine Nonprofit Services Coordination and or the feasibility of the creation of a community foundation. We haven't put that together yet, and I need to check with her and make sure we still have time. So that's on the to-do list. The Downtown Transit and City Center Design, it's essentially a landscape architecture class. They're going to be working with a focus on the city center property, but also looking at Huntington Road through a kind of a complete streets lens, which basically means looking at it in regards to infrastructure improvements, sidewalks, crosswalks, lighting, what am I missing, landscaping, other things like that. And so we're taking and handing them the community survey, as well as other information for them to work on putting that together over spring term. Also looking like a campaign / marketing class is gonna come together. And the emphasis there would be on furthering our brand and with an emphasis on tourism promotion. So I've been speaking with Ann, the chamber director, and I also met with Christine from COVA, Central Oregon Visitors Association, and we're having a follow-up call next Monday to see if that's a go. But the faculty from U of O is really excited about our branding initiative, and I think we all are, were and are as well, and told her that, you know, we made the economic development video, we updated our website, we'd implemented it in some ways, but there's still some room to even get that out more. And we thought that through a tourism lens made a lot of sense. And then the continuation of the narrative storytelling and video part two classes is going to continue on. I saw, it was literally last night, I think it's 7:30, they emailed it over, kind of the second cut of the video, and they're working on refining that, and it'll be shared with all of you when it's ready to go. So anyways, that's kind of the update of what's been going on. We don't know the results of the classes yet. We'll be, you know, we're eager to hear, to see the presentations and reports as well, and then just working over the next 2 weeks, really 2.5 weeks, to get the spring classes lined up for where they need to be.
Okay. Brian was going to comment on something on this, right?
No, I just
already covered it.
Maybe just say that I've been working with the business classes as they've gone through, looking at workforce and the industry analysis to target some of those things, and I'm really excited to see what they come back with. The questions that they've asked have been really engaging, like they're really understanding what the questions asked were and understanding the focus of the project. So just I'm thankful for the opportunity that economic development is able to kind of be rolled in and involved. And if you can make it the presentation, I think it's really interesting to help us understand how to even further target our economic development efforts, because we're not going to shoot at everything that flies and climb everything that falls. We're going to be very strategic in the way that we go after industry.
Okay, Council, you have anything to comment on this one? Connie, you have any comment?
Other than I plan to be in here on Friday for the presentations.
Great.
I'm excited to see what students have come up with. It's been exciting and a lot of energy, and like you said, busy. And did I catch it right that there's 6 classes that we have scheduled for spring term?
It's 5.
5.
5,
okay.
With some of the classes have multiple projects within the class.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks.
Stu, anything? Don?
I'm just hoping the senior center takes advantage of it. That's my big hope.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be there at 10:30.
Great, wonderful. Okay, let's move on to the next one. This is another exciting thing coming into the city, is the review and discussion of downtown community survey results and next step, which I know we had close to about 700 surveys coming back.
712.
Okay, who wants to take this one?
We didn't, so staff didn't really have a take-home point from this agenda item. Mostly just wanted to share it with all of you, to get any input that you might have. We're meeting with the steering committee that was brought together, essentially stakeholders from downtown who helped inform the survey methodology, the questions that were asked, how they were asked. So we're meeting with them tomorrow. We met with the Urban Renewal Agency yesterday and shared the survey results. We're here with you all tonight, and then we're going to take any comments that you have back to the steering committee and to Oregon's Kitchen Table, who will be participating at tomorrow's meeting, to kind of finalize the report. Again, this was the draft, so in terms of changing format or including more of this or more of that, we could do that, and then to talk next steps, because this did not exhaust all of the grant resources. So there's more outreach to be done, and that's something to be determined.
So you're looking for comments from the Council tonight, or
could even be just any of your input or comments or take on the survey, or no comments if you don't have any particular.
It'll be a short while before you come up with a final report. I mean, after you meet with everybody in like a month.
I would think so. I missed that. Let me pull this up real quick while.
Anybody have any comments on this one? Connie, can we serve you again?
Well, we kind of went over this yesterday at the Urban Renewal meeting, and we're pretty excited about it. I think there was a lot of positive input through the 700 plus people that took the survey. Just excited about that people were actually engaged and involved and wanted their ideas heard. Nothing really negative that came across in the report. Gave us good direction, I feel, for what people would like to see in that area. And I think it's great, like I said, that we had the participation that we did. So.
Okay, Stu, any comments?
Well, if you really dig into it, there's a lot of good information. If you just kind of glance at it real quick, it looks like a lot of just words. But the words and the numbers coincide to really heartfelt input by the people. So, you know, there is a lot of good information in here. I think some folks from Urban Renewal finally defined what a coffee shop was.
Oh, we tried.
it was good. It makes you stop and think, you know. So, it'll be good to see the final after all the input is given and the final report. But, you know, some people don't realize that even though the city supported this survey, the city is not responsible for a lot of the, you know, they want a swimming pool, they want a theater, they want this, they want, that's not the city's job. We don't build those facilities. But we can sure guide the right people in the right direction. So, no, there's a lot of good information. Thank you.
Don, one of the things that impressed me when I went through the survey is the variety of answers that we got to a lot of the questions. And two, what kind of surprised me is that it appears that the majority wanted to be sure that we served the community and we're not as concerned about visitors as we are serving the community. And that kind of surprised me because I thought we would be more oriented toward visitors than the city. But overall, I thought it was very enlightening, the things that we saw in there and the variety of remarks that people made and the questions and how they felt the city should go ahead.
Craig?
I'm pleased looking through the draft at the comments by the residents of La Pine. I'm more interested in what the public has to say, what they're looking for, what they would like to see in La Pine. And a lot of good comments here. And being on the Urban Renewal Agency, we scratched our heads a little bit over what is a coffee shop.
Okay. I know some of your students sent in, so what's your comments on this one?
Just a lot of what they've already said, so not a whole lot of new comments, but I agree there's a lot of really good information in here that is really helpful to this.
Are you on student council?
You are,
yeah. Are you? So the school's going to push for a swimming pool, right?
I wish if we could have a swim team, that'd be pretty cool. But.
Okay, I just think it's amazing the amount of information and how they graphed it and everything in this report. And the final one that we're going to put out to the public, the final one.
Oh, yeah, we'll definitely.
Not this one yet, we're going to wait to the final.
Yeah, so I found the email from last Friday, and what she mentioned is that we usually run a prelim report, this draft report, with decision makers to make sure the report covers what they want to know about or see, if there's any places we might want to clarify or dig a little bit deeper. So, you know, it sounded like everyone was pretty enthused with the level of detail that's already here. But in that light, that's essentially what we're looking for as we head into tomorrow's meeting.
As far as any council has any more comments on it, they can just reach out to you, right?
Yeah, absolutely, of course. Or feel free to come and participate at that steering committee meeting tomorrow as well. I know I know all of you are busy and we're throwing a lot of meetings at you, but Dawn did participate in the first one we had, and then I think we had one or two more before this went out, but we'd be happy to have you there as well. So.
And the general public's invited to that too?
Kinda not. We created a steering committee of stakeholders, and essentially the grant is with the city, so I think council is certainly appropriate to be there. But it's 3 o'clock here tomorrow, so.
Yeah. Okay.
So good. This one, the final?
I don't know that yet. I would, again, if there's minimal changes to be made, which it, you know, they're wondering from a renewal, doesn't sound like there's any tonight from council, so I would assume the turnaround could be a matter of a week or two at the most.
Okay, great.
To get that around. And then what we'll do, staff, is we'll make sure to keep all of you informed in regards to next steps for that outreach. One of the ideas was if the Sustainable City Year class is coming up with some renderings, some concepts for what the city center property could look like, well, maybe in the middle of June, when that's done, or first part of July, when the weather's a little better, hopefully, we could have a public meeting, an open house kind of, at the city center property with big boards and renderings of what that could look like, and invite the public to come and give input. And there's dollars through the grant that could help pay for that. So that's just one example, but we'll keep all of you informed as we flush that out and move forward.
And is the final report gonna be made public? Do we have plans to distribute that widely like we did the survey?
Yeah, I think it'd be a good question to figure out how to distribute that. I think we'd be open to basically distributing it anywhere that we could. I think would be worthwhile.
Maybe similar places as to who we asked to put the surveys out there to begin with.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Definitely on the website.
Oh yeah, for sure. And it could even make sense at some point, again, maybe in conjunction with the concepts for the city center property. You know, what I'm envisioning is that we probably need to have a public open house, maybe at the senior center. Invite the entire community, share the survey results, share the concepts for the city center property. Maybe what that is, again, middle of the summer, and really get some input from people so that they know this is direction we're planning to move forward with. So, just a heads up.
After all that, any more comments from council? Anybody have anything to say? No?
Could have it when we dedicate the flag.
Here we go.
July 4th, right? Okay, moving ahead, other matters, what do you have for us, Corey?
So we got an email, what was it, Monday? It had been Monday, not that long ago, from someone at the Department of Land Conservation and Development. They're the state agency that essentially oversees all the jurisdictions' zoning, land use codes. You know, Oregon has a very strict, on one hand, and protective on the other hand, land use code and system. And essentially they brought to our attention an opportunity to apply for the 2018 Achievement in Community Engagement Awards opportunity. And it is the Citizen Involvement Advisory Committee of the Department of Land Conservation and Development is pleased to announce that it is now accepting applications for the 2018 Achievement in Community Engagement Awards to recognize excellence in community engagement. And they reached out and they basically said, hey, word's traveling through the grapevine. Lapine's on the radar. We've heard good things from people. You've got this TGM grant going. You've got Sustainable City Year going. You've got this other grant in terms of community outreach. Pretty much they're like, we're encouraging you to apply. So, you know, it's nice in that regard. And so basically just wanted to let all you know that it was staff's intention to hopefully carve out some time tomorrow or Friday before 5 p.m. to put together a submission and kind of get your blessing to do that. And essentially, I did email back and say, well, hey, we don't have time to do three separate submissions. Can we kind of roll all that into one and say, we're doing all these things at once and they really complement each other. Can we kind of say that that's what we're doing, part of what we're doing well? And they said, yeah, go for it. So just kind of giving you a heads up that was a nice email to receive, and hopefully if we get the submission in, which is our intent, that maybe we'd have a good community engagement award coming our direction. We'll see.
When do we do the flagpoles? Okay, you don't need anything from council, you're going to have to do it, get it done, you know,
just,
I don't think anybody...
Just kind of heads nodding, and
it
sounds like, you know, might as well submit and see what happens. Okay, that's what we're going to do.
Great, wonderful.
All right, easy. Well, that part was easy.
Wow, this is moving fast tonight. Okay, public comments? Any more public comments?
Yeah.
Okay.
Tim Fleming, Deer Forest Drive. I agree with everything my wife said earlier. The only good thing I see about that over there is when they get their pot, they can go over next door to get their munchies.
Okay. Anybody else, anything to say? Nothing? Okay, staff comments. I guess we'll start with you, Corey.
I'll keep it fairly quick. Checked in with Zabo Landscape Architecture and the city engineer, Kuffman, today and said, hey, the clock's ticking. January 4th is going to be here before we know it. Where are we at? And they both shot back an email within less than 10 minutes with essentially the same email, each other CC'd on the email. So I really respect that and said, hey, it's clear you two are on the same page. And essentially what they said was that final touches on the bid package should be going out early next week. So that's encouraging. That's a big step, because it'll be open for a couple weeks or so, posted at all the appropriate locations, and we should have someone on board heading into April. So that's a quick update on the monument sign project. Streetscape project with ODOT, that's ready to go to bid here in the next couple weeks as well. We did catch, sort of by way of trying to solve an issue, we caught different issue, and I'm optimistic we can solve both. So on the front edge of 4th Street of the city center property there, the north side of 4th Street, there's three mid-state power line poles. And ideally, if we're creating that into a space that's going to attract, you know, buses on the street, cars on the property, people spending time, having it look nice, etc., etc., it makes sense to really try to get rid of those power lines, and getting rid of them means putting them underground so that they're out of the way of everything. That's not really or cheaply, so we've been working with Midstate and having meetings with ODOT so that we can ideally leverage the opportunity of them coming through and doing the paving project. So ODOT needs to run some electrical lines out for the pedestrian amenities. And it seems like there's opportunities that Midstate could piggyback on that while either boring the highway or trenching the highway. So we had a meeting Monday morning on that. We're having a follow-up meeting next Monday on that. I'm hoping we can come to some resolution. However, the one component that all of you should be aware of, and when I have the number, I'll bring it back to you as soon as possible, is that the city, there may be a difference between what Midstate's willing to pay for and what it would cost to actually put them underground. And so the city, if that's important to us, we may need to consider contributing towards that cost. Per our franchise agreement, we can make them move their power lines. So we can make them move the lines, say 10 feet that direction. We cannot make them go underground. So to be determined on that. The other item that we discovered was that we had put the pedestrian refuge island, the nice raised concrete barrier to make pedestrians feel safe in the middle of the road, in the middle of the turn lane, on the south side of 4th Street, which means if you're heading north and you want to take a left onto 4th Street, your turn lane is obstructed. There's no place for you to, you literally can't do it. And we talked to ODOT about that, and they went, well, we did traffic counts, we collected data, and we saw that more people were making left turns onto William Foss, heading south, turning left on William Foss, opposed to heading north and turning left on 4th Street. And we went, well, okay, that might have made sense last year, but does that make sense next year or 3 years from now after we redevelop the 4th Street property and make that a place that we want people to stop at? And the answer was no. So we're working with them to move the pedestrian refuge island to the north side of the intersection, as well as trying to work with Midstate on getting those lines underground. We're sort of in the 11th hour because the project is going to get bid. That's okay. You can do contract changes afterwards. But they'll be breaking ground probably in May. So the clock's ticking. We're working on that one pretty judiciously. Final item I'd touch on real quick is I have been working with a contractor in regards to getting the 300 acres that the city owns out Reed Road that is very dense. We dealt with some illegal camping at that location in the fall. It's also a fire hazard. I've been working with a contractor on trying to get that mitigated, essentially thinned and cleaned out. And I'd spoken with Allison Green at Project Wildfire. I'd spoken with Boone Zimmerly at the Oregon Department of Forestry. And, you know, you can get estimates of upwards of $1,000 per acre to thin that stuff. So 300 acres, $1,000 an acre, you're talking $300,000. That's expensive. Ideally, we would make an arrangement where the thin diameter trees and all the chipping material the company could use as value, and then we would get the project thinned. And so that's what we're trying to arrange. I was speaking with Jeremy even earlier tonight in regards to how does that fall into public contracting rules. If we're not actually exchanging money, we're exchanging, you know, wood product value. What does that look like? So the contractor said that if we could negotiate and get them on board, they could likely start that the end of April and could have it done before July. So it's kind of my goal to work with Jeremy and to work to try to get someone on board by the middle of April so that they can have that taken care of before fire season. So I've been working on that behind the scenes. We'll have more updates for you likely at the work session in 2 weeks. That's what I got.
That was so quick, Corey.
Sorry.
Quick, I'll tell you.
Well, it's only 7 o'clock.
I know.
Just keep going.
But when Corey says quick, hang on.
Sorry.
Melissa, you have anything to add for us?
Have you talked about code enforcement?
Mm-mm. I don't know. I gave him an update in the memo, but that's it. But you've been in touch with Chris, right?
Let's go. Yeah. All right.
They'd love to hear about
sure,
it.
Sure, I'm sure.
So I know code enforcement is very important to this body. So I did tour the town, and I submitted 17 potential violations to the county. And I already heard back from Chris about 5 of them, and then he has ongoing. So he is working on it. It looks like it's going to be pretty easy on the city's part. And we're working on, Corey and I are looking at how many hours we have for budget time and what it takes and what that looks like. And what else? Oh, I'm also been in contact with the county, and they have set me up on their program, so I'm directly into their system so that I can do permits through them. And so the turnaround and the wait time is gonna be significantly less for builders.
That's a really important point because, yeah. I mean, when we had Tammy on board, who was doing a tremendous job over the last 2 years, we were in kind of like, hey, we have to process applications and get them out the door. We didn't have the time to look kind of internally and say, how can we streamline some of this stuff? Are we doing the necessary checkpoints? I mean, we didn't do anything we weren't supposed to, but there was room for improvement. And so Melissa's jumped headfirst into that and made a good connections with the county in terms of streamlining.
And it's impressive that they're actually letting me into their system. So, I mean, really, it doesn't happen very often, and so it's very nice, and they are working with us, so I do appreciate that.
We just gotta keep pushing that county. Push. Okay, Ashley, have anything to add to us?
Not tonight.
No. Holly?
Not tonight.
Okay. Okay, council comments.
Ryan.
Ryan.
I do have comments. Just two things. There's been a lot of talk after the new federal tax code was approved about opportunity zones, and City of Lapine is all in an eligible census tract for an opportunity zone, but the governor has to formally recommend those zones to the Department of Treasury, but we have made a formal ask to Business Oregon, who then makes the formal ask to the governor to designate Lapine as an opportunity zone, but there are 381 eligible tracts and only 86 can be designated. So we've asked, which is all any county and any community can do at this point. Second, time to redesignate our enterprise zone has come up, so we'll be working through that. And April work session or April meeting, we'll have a formal meeting about it, but just letting council know that time has come to redesignate, and so EDCO is working with the county and the GIS department to put the maps together and do the taxing districts and have all do all the work. But in some of one of the meetings coming up, we'll have a formal meeting to discuss it.
Okay, great, thank you. Now we'll go on to council comments. Go ahead, Greg.
Once again, I'd like to thank the public for being here this evening and taking time out of your busy lives. I appreciate the comments.
Don? You mentioned that you were having somebody thin perhaps some of the city's property. Has anything been done about thinning the property just to the south of Crescent Creek?
No.
You were looking into that, I know.
Essentially, I'm at the point of needing to sit down with the property owner myself. The Project Wildfire and the state have reached out to the property owner, and they're not in the business of babysitting property owners and trying to get them to sign up for utilizing grant dollars. So it sort of falls on me to sit down and say, here's an opportunity and you need to take advantage of it. I was starting with the lower hanging fruit, which is the property that we own. And I know that that's been an emphasis of council to take care of what we own. So that's on the to-do list for sure.
I understand that. I was just wondering if any progress had been made, and I really didn't expect there had. So not your fault, incidentally. I mean,
it's fair.
Property owner's fault. First, that was my comment.
Stu?
Busy. Our town is busy. Keep it up. Thank you.
Hey, Connie.
Lots going on. Like Stu said, busy. Excited about the Sustainable City Year presentations on Friday. I think that's going to be great. And CYC canceled their March meeting, so I have no update on that. They've actually decided that unless there's pressing things on the agenda, they will not have a meeting. So it was, that felt that that needed the board input in order to respect and not waste the board's time. So
have they discussed switching gears to the water?
Well, I haven't been in a meeting. Don took the last meeting for me because I was out of town, and so I haven't been in one for a couple months now. So April, we should have a meeting. Hopefully, we'll have an update for you then.
Okay. Anything else?
The only other thing I was going to mention is I know that one of the code enforcement properties that was on your guys' list on Allen Drive, the motorhome there that was being lived in, is gone. No, actually, our water district pulled some weight and called the property owners and told them what was going on, and they moved the property. They moved the
We appreciate
house,
that.
So,
thank you.
Okay, I have a few comments, but I'll make them real quick.
Good job, Tom.
I'm glad you spoke up. You got to sit closer to me or something.
Yeah,
I'll get your attention.
Okay, good.
My face is no longer numb, so I can actually talk. So yeah. just don't quote me on this, but keep your April 25th, 26th, 27th, I believe, are the dates for the Grease play that's going on at the high school, and that's actually going to be one of our probably biggest drama productions yet. So as much community support, especially seeing all of you there, would be really cool for a lot of the students, I think, because they're all public officials, and it would be really cool for them to see you there. And then just getting the word out is a big thing. And then also baseball and track both have games coming up a lot more frequently and meets, so that's just another thing to look out for. And other than that, good.
Okay, I think we're starting to put the school stuff on our website, right, Holly? Is that it, correct?
When they send it to me, yes.
When they send it? Maybe you can push that ahead so they send.
And I'm trying to check,
okay.
Too.
Okay, great. Did I miss anybody? Okay, let me go ahead here. The 20th, March 20th, there's gonna be a groundbreaking ceremony for the affordable housing. So everybody's invited to that. It's at 10 o'clock, I believe.
Yes,
10 o'clock. So
they come on.
Yeah. So, I'll be there. Hopefully the council will be there. If any of the public can spread the word, we'll put the word out on it. That's a biggie. I'm just
more we go to sled meetings and get involved and then the industrial park, this thing's going to take off. You know, it's really going to take off, which is amazing. We have a lot of opportunities there. It's great. Good job, Brian. Ordinances. Melissa, I can't tell you how happy I am that we got the county involved. That was a great idea. It never even came up before. I mean, that's wonderful. I know around my area, I think, what's his name again for the county?
Oh, the code enforcement?
Yeah.
Chris?
He's put the fear in God of a few people.
Yeah, he does his job well.
Yeah, he's doing his job really well. I mean, some people you didn't think would take notice, but they have. So, you know, in the Cagle Road area, he's done a great job. And we've been after doing something like that for, I don't know, year, 2 years, whatever.
Yeah, and the good part is it looks like the county and not us.
Yeah. As long as they aren't going to charge us a fortune, keep an eye on that one. I'm going to miss the Friday thing. Unfortunately, I got to go to Salem again tomorrow at the Water Resources to tell what Lapine needs once changed. We're in just such a unique area. No place in Central Oregon or the Deschutes Basin is in the same position we are. And that was brought up by Adam that, you know, all these water rights were before the city was even formed. You know, they're back in the 90s. Now that we're a city, I'm sorry, we need more water. You know, so that's one of the topics. So I'll report on that when I get back. And as far as I was just going to say, the governor does like Lapine, right? Every time I talk to her, she says how much she loves the Corridor Lapine. Whether she knows where she's going or not, who knows? But she does say Lapine.
She might not like it anymore.
Yeah, okay. Well, I've heard her about it too. Wants to know where to stay, but yeah. And it's just amazing all the things that are going on. It's actually hard to keep up with it all. Full-time job, and I'm so happy to have Melissa here. I'm sure Corey is too. And Holly and Ashley and everybody's just so busy. I will comment on Gloria's thing. I'm sorry. Going to meetings and stuff, I never hear Lapine being considered a drug town anymore. I think that image has changed tremendously. And yeah, do I like the idea of this going across the street? Well, no. But the council and everybody decided that we had to treat them as the same as all businesses, and that's why it got done. And that was 9 months, a year ago, close to that. I mean, everybody was in agreement on it. And I don't want to see signs out there, of course not, but we have signs for the other two dispensaries, so I'm just, it's something I guess we have to live with and make the most of it. That's it for me. Anybody else?
I forgot I was going to comment on that as well. I just wanted to say that I really respect our marijuana businesses here in Lapine, that they did step up and we did put procedures in place that are above and beyond what OLCC requires, as far as it was their idea to have their windows opaqued, and so that our children walking past their windows can't see product, especially edibles and things like that look like candy. And they were still willing to have the entrance to where you can't just walk straight in to their dispensary and have product available right there too. So I think that they've done a lot to make sure that they're looking out for our community as well in helping us rewrite some of those things. But they are another business that's now legal, so we have to respect that too.
One other thing to consider also, we're in the process of getting 3 flagpoles and a very nice sign for entrance to the community. And I don't know how anybody else travels, but I'll say when I travel, that would be the first thing I'd look at. I certainly wouldn't look at a building across the street. I'd look at the sign before I was coming in and see what they offered, and we're going to have a nice sign.
Yeah,
And flagpoles, yes.
And flagpoles.
And flagpoles.
Don't forget the flagpoles. Okay, I guess that's it. Do I have a motion to adjourn?
Motion to adjourn?
Sorry, yeah, go.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Meeting adjourned.
Ryan.
The folder of death.
Hello, hello.
Oh. We'll start with you.
I didn't hear that.
Yeah, that's